Lord, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we pause to give thee thanks that thou hast brought us together in this day and this evening, a midweek service, O Lord, that after a day of work and tending to the cares of this life and many thoughts and distractions, O Lord, what a blessing to come together now with thy word, thy living word before us. O Lord, we pray a blessing upon our gathering, upon the reading, upon the meditation of thy word. May thy spirit truly guide our hearts, O Lord, that this evening would be a blessing unto all who have been able to come. So guide us, instruct us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd like to read a few verses from, with God's help, from Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, I'd like to begin with verse number 12 and read to the end. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May God bless our reading, and let us, dear ones, in this past Sunday in the afternoon, there's a portion of the scripture that really stayed with me, I think thought about it a lot and what it means, and that the words of Jesus when he said to the woman, he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And she was freed of the plague. So, what does faith look like? We even prayed just now that the Lord would increase our faith, so that we would be able to be the recipients of his grace. And that we would be willing recipients. So do we want his grace? Do we want him? We have to be willing to receive him, as we were led in prayer. So we have to be willing to receive him, and we have to be able to receive him. And in order to receive him, to be willing and to be able, we have to have faith. Because it is faith that will make us whole of the plague of sin that is all around us. And we have before us here the word of God and what the word is. It is only through his word that is the ultimate test of, am I a Christian? Am I a professor of, am I a mere professor, or am I indeed a follower of the Lord Jesus? The test is his word. Because in his word, He reveals himself to us. And how much time do you and do I, as Christians, spend time in the Word, which alone is able to expose my thoughts, my intents, the intents that I have? I don't know them myself. I don't know them. But the Word does. The Word can expose those things. You know, because I can come to church, and I can be a participant in communion, and I can be in thought, and tears can just be flowing down my cheeks. And I could just have a mere emotional moment and not spiritual in any way. The Word can discern that. He tells us that here. Only the Word can do that. I can't. Because my first thought will be, that was good. It felt good. I can sing the hallelujahs. I can do those things that bring me into a good feeling and just simply have an emotional moment. And no spirituality in it at all. And we have a hymn that we sing. It says, my faith gives peace and rest to me. Jesus said, this is obviously taken straight out of the scripture, because Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go how? In peace. And I believe we just sang the hymn. I can't quote it, but the second verse that ended is something like, that his presence will be with us, or his peace will follow us. And how then do I know that I am a man of faith? The Bible tells us here that the Word of God is quick, it is alive. So that means that the Word of God is Jesus. It's Christ. So the Word is alive. We know that the one who is alive, who was once dead and is alive forevermore, is Jesus Christ our Lord. His Word, which he has left us, is one that changes not, just like our Lord changes not. The Word of God is God himself. He reveals who he is through his Word to us. He will not send me some special revelation of something that is out of Scripture, that is not found in Scripture. He has left us his Word. His Word is sufficient to guide me through every step, through every aspect of my life. His Word is able to keep me. His Word is able to give me the peace, surround me in that peace, no matter what takes place. And I've seen that demonstrated through men and women of faith. And I question my own self when I see that. When I see moments of faith that are purely relying on God and him alone to take him or her through moments of life that seem impossible. And we see the scriptures has many, many examples of men and women of faith who were surrounded by the peace of Jesus following them, who had the faith and the willingness to receive the grace that was given to them. Paul was told, my grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient. I will give you everything you need to take you through whatever I'm going to lead you through. Just believe in me. Have we entered into that phase in our life, in our spiritual walk, where his Word is the preeminence? Is he preeminent? His word. We can say Jesus is, but Jesus is the word. And so is his word that to me? It's superior to everything. Superior to any thought that I might ever have. Superior to any thought of anyone that I ever have. Is his word the first that I turn to for a direction, for a comfort, for a revelation of who I am? It is the mirror that we look into and see ourselves exactly as God sees us. As we have read here, there's no creature, it says, that is not manifest, not revealed in his light, in his sight. But all things are naked, exposed, completely. We know what naked means. You're completely exposed. He says all things are completely exposed and open unto his eyes, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And his word gives us all of his comforts, the comforts and the blessings of what it means when we follow him, and he gives us all of his judgments and reveals the judgments to those who refuse him or are not willing to be participants to receive the grace that is sufficient for each one of us, that he will never leave us short. The word of God is alive. The word of God alone is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it tells us here, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's his word that when I read his word, as it sharply, I believe, had its way in my life in the past few days of just thinking on what faith is, and I find myself lacking. And I'm thankful for the prayer that we asking for an increase. But God won't just pour out, here, you need more. No, I have to want him. I have to really want him. And to want him means that I don't want the things that are of this life. He has to be preeminent. He has to be the one that I seek. The one who will give me that which I seek. And when I receive that faith, then it will be very clear to me as his word now is alive to me. I see it. I understand. I see, my thoughts. I had an emotional moment. I had a spiritual moment. I will know. Because his word will divide. It's sharp. It's two-edged. It divides asunder between soul and spirit. And the joints and marrow, and discerns the thoughts. Every thought that we might have is discerned by his word. You know your thoughts in light of his word. You and I can be filled with so much deceit from Satan that we can explain our thoughts, explain our actions, and sugarcoat them in any manner in which way we can. That's fine. We can do that. But that's because we've closed the book. We've closed the book. And we can explain everything. But when we open his word, and we see our Lord, and we see his word, and we see his life, then we know what our thoughts were, what our actions were, what our sharp reactions were. And suddenly, we can't explain anything. We fall on our knees and we ask the Lord to forgive us. His word alone can do that. So when Jesus says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, I ask myself, am I whole? Are we whole? Because we will be, we will either expose ourselves now to this two-edged sword while we have life and breath. We will open his word and reveal and let his word reveal to us who we are. Let that sharp two-edged sword divide in my thoughts and my intents and everything. Let it reveal to me who I am in his eyes. Because nothing is hidden. It's all exposed. It's all revealed. He sees everything. The one with whom we have to do. So in other words, if I don't open my heart to his word today, that sword will find me one day. His sword will find me. And then what? That's the judgment. That's the judgment. Suddenly now, you know, I had a man come in today, very wealthy. And he says, you know, he goes, I'm trying to just enjoy my life. He's already old. He goes, I'm trying to just enjoy my life. He goes, because you know what? I've never seen a Brinks truck at a funeral. I can't take anything with me. So I'm just going to live. That's all he wants to do, just live. And he said, if he could do one thing, it'd be get his youth back. Because he has life figured out. He thinks. Live. Enjoy. Because you can't take it with you. But Christ, his law, eternity, he's deceived. He's deceived. And dear ones, this word can penetrate deeper than any deception of sin has ever penetrated into our heart. His word can go deeper and can cleanse us with his precious blood of all that we have within us. Sin is so deceptive, it makes us feel like this is the only way out of a certain situation. This is the way. By sinning, it will get me out of something else. Isn't that why people lie? You lie because you don't want to face something, so you lie to get out of something. So we're deceived. To get out of an unwanted birth, murders are taking place, thinking that's the answer. Quick, now, deceived, only to find out later, years go by, and they're tormented by what they have done. Deceived. It's deception. That's all sin is. It can't be, it has to be only that, because that is the only way that it can be made attractive to us and show us that there's some kind of escape from the realities of life. Lies. Go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It doesn't matter the obstacles that are in her life. Jesus told her, go in peace. Peace has followed her. She demonstrated a faith. Jesus said, you have faith. I give you my peace. It doesn't tell us anything more about her. But the words of Jesus remain. And brothers and sisters and my dear friends, deception is all around us. Sin is all around us. And how much time do we really spend in his word? To help us to ward off the deception of sin, so that we would, our thoughts and in the intents of our heart, it tells us our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know that? Was it Jeremiah? I believe that we read that in. He says, "Who can know them? You can't know your own heart. No, you can't. I can't. But the word does. The word will reveal." He says, It will discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word will. Not you, not me. The word will show me my intents. Reveals my pride. That which, I think I just mentioned this past Sunday, it's the hardest thing to understand, to feel. Why? Because I'm not in the word. If I go into the word, I see pride. I see sin of every kind is being made manifest in my life when I open his word and I see myself, and that's when I have to come to him, broken, humbled, asking for faith, asking for forgiveness, asking for delivery of those sins and from those sins. It's only through him. He is alive. He is alive. And he is powerful. It's his word. I believe that if we just listen to the prayer that we had, and this is just, it was brought out who Jesus really is. The mediator, Jesus Christ, the intercessor, the one who knows exactly how to pray for me and for you. He prays for us, intercedes for us, while we do what? While we do what? Push him aside? Deceived by the sin, deceived by pride, deceived by lust, deceived by greed, thinking there's joy in those things. The sword will find me one day if I don't find the sword today. We don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. This isn't the son of David. This isn't the son of Abraham. This is the son of God. We can approach him. We can approach his throne. The Israelites couldn't do that. They couldn't approach the Holy of Holies. They couldn't do that. Jesus Christ tells us, you can come to me. He is the high priest that we can always come to. He says, and he's not one that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So let's go boldly, he says, boldly unto the throne of grace to receive that grace. So that we might obtain mercy. How am I going to obtain mercy? Going to the throne of grace. How do I go to the throne of grace? On my knees. What am I bringing with me? A haughty spirit? A proud look? A heart full of sin, lies, deceit, greed? And I'm going to be asking for mercy and grace? And then I get up and I think right away, okay, what's the day before me? What can I do? Me, me, me. We do that, sadly, often. Find grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. When am I ever not in a time of need? When am I ever going to be in a time of I don't have a need? The need for him is always. Need for his mercy is always. The need for his grace is always. When I come to the point that I don't need him, that's when I fall into every sin imaginable. And yeah, I can, and I know I've said this many times, and we see it demonstrated by men who do not even believe that God exists. They have a strong will, and they would say, okay, I will give up drinking, I will give up smoking, and they will never touch it again. Strong will. Does it make them pure and holy? No. We can also do things. Okay, I will not do that anymore. Is that a spiritual moment? No, not at all. Not at all. His word alone is able to discern my thoughts, the intents of my heart. Let us, brothers, sisters, my dear friends, come to the throne of grace. And let's open his word and spend time. Why would we not want to spend time in that which leads us to heaven? Why would we not want him? Why would we want the things of this world over him? Do we even know him? If we don't, it's because we don't read him. He reveals himself to us. So as we pray, Lord, increase our faith. Let's do that which is necessary to receive that faith, to be cleansed by his word. The cleansing, the discernment of our thoughts and all that, the cutting asunder, the two-edged sword. Let us expose ourselves to that two-edged sword, to that mirror, to see ourselves so that we truly could receive his grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Amen.
Brother brought out the idea that the sword will find us, and mentioned here in verse 13 about the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And those expressions made me think of a battle, of a fight. And brother also mentioned a lot about deception and faith. And those two things brought to my attention and my mind the example of Jacob in the Old Testament. And Jacob is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and his experience may be instructive to us as we consider what it is to have faith. The description of faith in Jacob's life is given as this: by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And the writer of Hebrews is painting a picture for us to imagine this scene of him blessing the two sons of Joseph and worshiping, and he's on his staff. As you think of that picture, have you ever seen someone with an injury, maybe with a scar on their face, and wonder, how did they get that? Where did that come from? Where did his staff come from? There was a battle in Jacob's life. When he wrestled with God. And he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the fight was over. Before that time, Jacob's life was marked with deception and trying to manipulate circumstances to come out on top. But then there was a battle. And he was asked, what is your name? What describes you? Jacob, he responded. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but is Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. One of the lessons of faith is knowing that God must overcome ourselves. And that is how we find power with God, by no longer resisting him, but surrendering to him. It might be our weakest moment that describes the faith that is seen. So maybe it's a challenge, maybe it's a battle, maybe it's a wrestling with what you've read and heard in the Word of God. Who will win? With whom do we have to do? May we see the example of Jacob and see what the Lord was able to do when he humbled him, when he showed him his limitations. May we also surrender and realize that we have to do with our Creator and say, "Thy will be done." May God bless His word. Amen.